believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Allegan, Michigan, and has founded 9 banks, the latest being Home Bank. In 2005, his 8th bank was named the 3rd best company in America to work for by Fortune magazine. This coming Friday, July 18th, he realizes a lifelong dream, bringing thoroughbred racing back to Southeast Michigan with the grand opening of Pinnacle Racetrack in Romulus. His name, Jerry Campbell. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with the founder and chairman of Home Bank, the largest de novo in the history of Florida banking. Jerry Campbell, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Well, I had a great childhood. It was in a warm and loving family environment. I'm the oldest of 5 children, and we had a great time growing up. It was a wonderful childhood.
What did you learn from your mom, and what did you learn from your dad?
Well, my mom, her name was Grace, and we lost her a few years back. She literally was a graceful person. The name was very befitting of her. And many of those rough edges you have when you're a child growing up are influenced by your parents. In my mother's case, she taught me to be more graceful, maybe graceful under pressure, maybe considerate of people. When I think of my mother, the word grace is both literally and actually what she was to me. My father worked most of his life for the United States Postal Service, and he came out of the Depression era. The Postal Service was deemed to be a secure and good job, and that was his environment. But he was steady and regular and hardworking, and he's still alive today. He's 92 years old, and he also has been heavily involved in the racehorse business.
You've started 9 banks. How did you ever get into the banking business?
Well, I was a finance and investment major in college, ended up teaching those courses at Wayne State University for 5 years, and during that period of time, I became a consultant doing, if you pardon the expression, expert testimony regarding new bank and branch applications. And I came to like that business, and I went on and filed for my own charter after doing it for others for a number of years.
9 very successful banks. A Republic Bank, you started with $1 million in assets. You built it to $6.2 billion before you sold it 18 months ago. What's been the key, Jerry Campbell, to having successful banks?
Well, it's people. The number one non-book asset of every bank that I know of is its people. We were blessed with a great staff. We had a lot of longevity, low turnover, a great work ethic, and it was primed by a system of pay for performance. Every single employee had a written incentive plan, and they carried it out. They did well. They prospered. But it's people. Surround yourself with good people, and good things will happen. If you don't, it won't.
Pay for performance. More and more people, more and more businesses, entities are going to this because they have to. Talk about the wisdom and the value of pay for performance.
Well, the term pay for performance sounds good on the surface. The problem is in the execution. Many people that I've talked to over the years said, gee, I like this pay for performance. Just guarantee me what I was making. I'll take the rest and pay for performance. What obviously doesn't work unless you put skin in the game, meaning you go at risk and hopefully it pays off and you make more than peer. But it's difficult on the execution side. It's easy to say and hard to do.
I've known you for a lot of years. We're partners together in a bunch of businesses. We're great friends. Everything you do, Jerry Campbell, is first class. What do you say to somebody who says, you know, we're tiny, we're a startup. Right now, we can't afford to be first class. We can't do it classy.
Well, I'm a contrarian on that. I think you can't afford not to do it in a classy way. It's very important that you have a place that the employees are proud to be associated with, customers and clients enjoy, and there's no shortcut. You have to do it in a classy way, and I think it pays off in the long run.
A lot of people today are facing the reality of uncertainty. They've never had to take risks in life, and now they're being forced to. You talk about pay for performance, having skin in the game, etc. What advice do you give to someone who's facing having to take risks today?
Well, it's very difficult. I think most of mankind is not oriented to taking big risks, particularly with their economic status. I think there's more security in taking risk than there is in hanging on to security. Many of the positions that I've seen around our great state have evaporated because that business or that entity did not do the right planning, make the right investment, and therefore take the right risk. Risks need to be calculated, but not taking risk is not the most secure thing to do. If you take all of our great industries, including the big three in the state, they have to take risk and position themselves for the future. And that's been my philosophy.
We're talking to Jerry Campbell. 11 of his former employees are now CEOs of other banks. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're talking to Jerry Campbell, who this coming Friday on July 18th realizes a lifelong dream, bringing a world-class thoroughbred racing course to Southeast Michigan. July 18th, called Pinnacle Racetrack in Romulus. Jerry, getting back to the banking business, talk about customers.
Well, customers are obviously our lifeblood. Without customers, we have no reason or purpose of being there. And if you can't anticipate the customer's needs and this old principle that the customer is always right, I think it's very, very important. So we have an incentive system for our employees that has all to do with cross-selling and satisfying the customer's needs, delivering those services in a very unique way where each banker is assigned his own customer base and he cultivates that, she cultivates that. And customers are what it's all about. It's what differentiates any company. And we need them, and we need to take care of them.
In your banks, you don't have tellers and lines. You have private bankers. How did that ever come about?
You're right. We do have private bankers, meaning we have personal bankers who are at a desk and their client, customer, sits at their desk and does the transactions that the customer needs. I saw that develop at a bank back in the early 70s in Lansing, Michigan, which was known as Paysetter Bank, which I was chairman of. And we had one of the administrative assistants to the president of the bank was flagging down customers every day who were getting in a roped-off teller line and bringing them over to her desk, than running around in teller line doing the transaction, expediting them going out. After a short period of time, the customers just did a beeline to her desk, and she invented it in my mind. I just observed it and said, I think this is going to work. So we shut down the teller lines, set up all personal bankers. We were very successful. And over the last 35 years, we've done that in every banking location we have. And it does work. Customers like it. And it's a great way to do business.
Jerry Campbell, there are 400-plus banks in Florida today. 15 months ago, you start Home Bank in Florida. Why?
Well, a number of reasons. After we sold Republic, I had a non-compete in Michigan, and we looked around, and we thought the southeastern part of the United States had a lot of opportunity. We'd had a winter home in Florida for 20 years. We knew the market, and there's a lot of inbound migration. Florida is one of the four big growth states, and we think there's a lot of opportunity. The other thing that's happened in Florida is all of the large bank holding companies in Florida have been acquired. Therefore, the majority of the Florida bank assets are controlled by companies headquartered outside of Florida in places like Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, Birmingham, and others. And we think there was a great opportunity for a homegrown, strong, well-run bank in Florida. And we set out on that mission, and so far, so good.
What are your goals, your dreams for this ninth bank, Home Bank?
Well, our first goal is to build it of some substance. As you noted earlier in the program, we raised a lot of capital, and our near-term goal in the next 5 years is to open 50 new offices in Florida. We're well into that already. We're hiring a lot of people. We've hired over 100 people since we've opened, with many more in the pipeline. And we've got great dreams and aspirations for that bank, and so far looks like we're on course.
I've heard three or four different people who know you well say, I feel so bad for Jerry Campbell. He doesn't deserve this. He starts a bank in April of 07. What an awful time to start a bank.
Well, actually, I'm a bit of a contrarian, and as it works out, it's a great time. There has been some back off in real estate values all over the country, including Florida. We missed that because we came in after it. There's been some dislocation of people, particularly in the mortgage area. We've had an opportunity to hire a lot of great people and build our staff. And quite frankly, it's a very good time to start a bank, maybe the best in the last 30 or 40 years.
Everything you've done, Jerry, you've literally willed it to happen. Talk about willing something to happen.
Well, it's a good point. I don't think much about it until you ask that question. I'm committed to various projects. The racetrack you mentioned earlier is one of them. We sort of went into that against all odds with a very short time schedule in terms of getting all the necessary permits and construction and putting together a team to run it. We think there's a great opportunity to reestablish thoroughbred racing in Michigan, and that we had no tracks with the closing last year of the only one in Michigan. Therefore, the opportunity, and we just haven't accepted no for an answer at any of the points along the track. There have been a lot of naysayers. On the other hand, we've had a lot of great support, and if that's willing it to happen, maybe the word perseverance would be a substitute word for will. I don't know if perseverance is another word for stubborn, but somewhere between stubborn and persevering, you probably define me.
Through the years, I've heard you talk about Don Canham and Bo as two people you really have admired. Why?
Well, along with Mitch Albom, Bo wrote his first book several years ago, and he set forward principles upon which he managed his job, which happened to be the coach of a great football team. It became greater under his leadership. And there's a sign in the Michigan room for the team when they go out onto the field that says, "Those that stay will be champions." That came about because a bunch of Michigan players quit after Bo arrived on the scene. He was sort of the new sheriff. He ran a very tight and tough ship. We all came to admire him as a living legend, although we lost him last year. And I've always admired his principles and what he stood for, and had the pleasure of counting him amongst my friends. We spent a lot of time with Bo over the years. Don Canham was a really great guy. He came up through the Michigan system as the track coach. As you know, no one goes from being track coach to athletic director. They knew he had great management skills and ability. And he developed probably the prototype major college sports program in terms of revenues and management. He had a hardworking style. Those of you who know or knew Don Canham before we lost him, he was all over that stadium on football days checking the bathrooms and the food concessions and the parking and the works. Very detailed manager, very goal-oriented, a guy we all can admire here in the state of Michigan. A great role model.
Jerry Campbell, talk about being a contrarian. When we come back, I want to talk to you about starting a $142 million thoroughbred racetrack project in Romulus that opens later this week. And I'm Jack Crisul, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR, presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Jerry Campbell, who's leading an effort to develop a $142 million thoroughbred racetrack on 320 acres at the corner of Sibley and Vining, just east of I-275 in Huron Township. Jerry Campbell, why build a thoroughbred racetrack?
Well, we've been in the thoroughbred breeding and racing business for 40 years. My grandfather, who was a country doctor, had standardbred horses and raced them himself. My father was a standardbred official for 70 years in the state of Michigan. So we have a long history in racing, and we've seen a decline in the business in Michigan. And with the state no longer having a thoroughbred track, we thought there was a great need and opportunity to build one. We've had great support from the horsemen and the industry, and we set off. In a very short period of time, we put together what we think is a world-class facility, 2 miles south of Metropolitan Airport, right off from 275, and that phase one of which is nearing completion as we speak. My thought is, for us to succeed, we couldn't do it in a cheap or less than grand way, because we need to take care of the horsemen and the consumers, and they need to have a very positive experience in going to the track. If they don't, they won't come back. And so food and beverage, security, lighting, the whole entertainment venue has to be first class. And we would compete with a lot of other good entertainment venues in southeastern Michigan. But as you know, it's a great sports town. We've got the Red Wing and the Tigers, and the Lions are going to get on the move. We now need to get thoroughbred racing back into Detroit and bring this sport to a higher level here. And to do that, you've got to do it right.
You broke ground on April 3rd of this year. 105 days later, July 18th, the first day of racing. You're going to have a 12,000-square-foot corporate pavilion, temporary seating for 1,000 people, a world-class mile-long track, 15 barns with 600 stables in 105 days, Jerry. Impossible.
Well, it sounds impossible. We broke it into its segments, and basically each of these three segments you just identified took about 90 days. The only problem we really had is rain. It's been a very rainy spring and early part of summer, which I think is good for growing corn and wheat in Michigan, but not too good for moving a lot of dirt and construction. We're still on track. We're going to make that schedule. The barns are full in terms of applications from the horsemen and overflowing. We've got a wait list, which is a strong sign. We've had a lot of interest in the community and anticipation of the opening of the track. And a lot of things have gone just right, but it's probably because of the team we put together. This team was headed by a guy named Mike McInerney, who's headed our whole development and regulatory effort, done an absolutely outstanding job. We couldn't have picked a better person. And we put together the rest of the team, which I think we're going to talk about here. And the combination of that team has brought this together in a very remarkable way.
Speaking of which, it would not have happened without Bob Facano. Talk about Bob.
Well, absolutely. As you know, Bob is working hard on jobs and development in Wayne County. He's doing a great job. He wanted this whole Aerotropolis area by the airport to represent a lot of jobs and capital investment for the state. He was looking for a pump primer to initiate this. We came along, and Bob jumped on it and has been very, very supportive. I should mention John Mitchell, who's the Huron Township Supervisor, and his whole team have jumped on it. And we've had outstanding government cooperation, really led by Bob Vacano. There'd be no racetrack without Bob Vacano.
The architect was Gaffari and Associates.
Another world-class partner on our team. We got involved with the Gaffari team. The team we're working with is headed up by Ron Moran. And from day one, they jumped on it and made it happen. They worked with all the government officials. They worked on the site plan. They worked on great design. And they were absolutely outstanding to work with. They're in Dearborn. They do a lot of work for Ford. You can see why they're a great company. It was a super choice for us.
And the general contractor, Gary Renselli, and his team.
Well, now you're talking about somebody who can move a lot of dirt in a short period of time. Renselli Construction, headed by Gary Renselli. President of the firm is Tom Wickersham. The project manager is Dennis Bishop. And the next guy in line is Jeff Pfeiffer. They have really made it happen. They're not just contractors. They have put passion and effort into this. They are working 7 days a week, two and three shifts. I was out there this weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all 3 days. They're working. They're hammering this project. We couldn't have made a better choice than Renselli.
In talking to people over the weekend, and I've mentioned that this thing opens this coming Friday, they're saying, no, next year, next year. Impossible. You've heard it hundreds of times. Impossible to do it in 105 days. How?
Well, it is nearly impossible because it absolutely requires 90 days. And if you take 105 days and some rain and a hiccup here and there, it's really a tight schedule. But this team we're talking about, Mike McInerney, Gaffari, Renselli, the whole Wayne County staff, the Huron Township staff, they all pulled in the same direction. Really just fabulous to see it come together. And the impossible has happened, and we are going to open on Friday, 2:30 p.m. post time, July 18th. See you there.
How many racing dates, and what days of the week is it open?
63 racing dates this year, which is about a half session. We're starting, well into the year. It's going to be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The post time on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is 2:30 p.m., 9 races a day, and on Sunday, 4 p.m. But it's come together super. The horsemen will be there. I think the fans will love it. And we have a world-class track. We hired a guy named Joe King. He has done these tracks all over the world. And we replicated Churchill Downs here in every way. It's going to be a super track and great for Detroit.
Simulcast as well?
Simulcast as well. We'll simulcast every day but Christmas, 364 days a year, from noon to midnight. So all the tracks in the United States, we'll cover them. We got 75 big screen TVs in the corporate pavilion, and you can watch and wager on all the major tracks all over the country. We've made a arrangement to export our signal to all the major tracks and to import their signal. We made an arrangement with Churchill Downs and Magna, the two largest track operators in the world, and we're on their first team, and we're going to start right off as a world-class simulcast center.
What will it cost per person to come and to park this first season?
Well, believe it or not, it'll cost zero. It's free parking, free admission. We want everybody to come out and try it. It's the best buy in town.
You've committed, Jerry Campbell, to 1,100 jobs, direct or indirect, or else you owe $16 million to Wayne County.
Well, Bob Ficano said, go ahead and build it, but we want the jobs. If you don't produce the jobs, you owe me a lot of money for the land. I said, I will produce the jobs, and we're on track to do that. We've already hired a lot of people. 2 weeks, I guess it's 3 weeks ago now, we had a job fair at Huron Township Hall on a Saturday. Over 2,500 people showed up. We talked to every one of them. We had as many as 600 people in line to see our people and get applications. There's a lot of people looking for jobs. We've got a lot of jobs here. If you add those direct jobs of 1,200 at the track, there's another 1,500 temporary construction jobs going on right now. And there's a trickle-down in our great state of probably another 25,000 jobs to support this industry. This is a big job machine, and that's why everybody's pushing hard for it.
How can we learn more about this?
Well, you can look us up on our web, pinnaclericecourse.com, and we've got updates, we've got employment information, we've got racing schedules, and look us up on the web, but better yet, come out and see us.
We're talking to Jerry Campbell, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Jerry Campbell, the founder and chairman of Home Bank. Jerry, we've known each other many years. Time and time again, I've watched you put your hand in the cookie jar last. Most times, there's no cookies left in the jar, no money left in the jar. And even though you take all the risk, you let your partners get their share first. That's opposite of most anybody else. Why?
Well, I think there's a lot of things in that. Back to my childhood, I don't think I had that same philosophy. I was ready to put my hand in the cookie jar first. And I think my mother taught me that grace point again about making sure everybody got a cookie if you got friends over the house before you did. But, you know, if the people you work with perceive you are greedy, they will think less of you. I think it's important that they be paid first. They hopefully are paid a handsome but lesser amount than people who take even a greater risk. I've always operated that way. I think it served me well. It served me well because we had a lot of great people on the team, and I think you garner their respect, their trust, and their hard efforts if you don't do that. So grew up that way. I think it's important. I also think in the bottom line, it's profit maximization.
Many people cannot learn to delegate. And you've said there's two ways to run a business. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, I'm a student of Peter Drucker, who is the guru of management philosophy in this country over the last 50 years. And he basically believed in what we would define as a Christmas tree. Someone's at the top, you branch out, delegate, accountability as you come down that tree, back and forth, up and down the line. Many entrepreneurs or people who start a business, you would liken their activity to the hub of a wheel with many spokes. And eventually, as the business grows and the wheel goes faster, that person sort of disintegrates because the wheel is going too fast because they have to make all the decisions. So the Christmas tree works better. You have delegated authority and responsibility and accountability, which is most important. And I've found over the years that that works great. The guy that I read about and got that principle from was Peter Drucker.
You're north of 65. Most every Monday you jump on a Northwest flight to Tampa. You work 14, 16, 18 hours a day. You come back on Thursday nights. Jerry Kimball, what drives you?
Well, I think it's a fear of failure. I don't want to fail. I don't want to let my friends down. I don't want to let the people who've invested down. That's what motivates me. I think playing a little afraid, a little behind, a harder effort, goes back to some of the Bo Schembechler, Don Canham principles again. I don't want to sound like I played football for them. That was only in my dreams. But I observed how they managed. And I think it's important to play hard and work hard. And that's what I've always done. That's what I enjoy. As long as you have good health, I think you want to continue that.
Watching you these last 3.5 months build this track in impossible odds, Murphy's Law has hit you every day, every hour. The rain in June was unbelievable. Yet, I've never seen you get down or defeated. How?
Well, there's an old expression, don't let them see you sweat. I'm a little bit like that duck who's floating around on the pond. Everything looks calm, but my feet are moving 90 miles an hour underneath the water. I'm thinking about these issues, worrying about them, giving them due consideration. But, you know, if the troops see the leader getting down or sweating or showing weakness, they have a hard time not following that or losing confidence in what they're doing. So we've been relentlessly positive. We keep going. But this team we've put together, we've already talked about here tonight many times, has really been the encouragement that I've had, and they've done an absolutely outstanding job.
Jerry Kimball, getting to the top is very tough. Staying at the top is even tougher.
Well, absolutely. All the analogies to sports, you know, we talk about three-peating for the Wings or the Pistons and the sports teams and the Bulls and so forth. It's hard to stay there because you're no longer committed to the same effort that got you there. And we see that in sports teams. We see it in business. And a lot of people rest on their laurels. I think you have to go out and play hard, play scared, and be concerned about defeat to continue to stay at that level. And that's what I've always tried to do.
A few years ago, I asked you to write your philosophy of life. And there were 6 principles to live and manage by. The first one was people.
Absolutely. It's all about people. It's people in your personal life. It's people in your business life. It's the people you socialize with. I think it's a little bit like eating. You know, if you don't eat right, you're not going to be healthy. If you don't associate with good people, bad things are going to happen. And I've been blessed with a lot of great associations over the years, and I think it's all a people business.
Number two was integrity. And I've said publicly, Jerry Campbell's so honest, you could shoot craps with him over the telephone.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. I think integrity and of your own conduct and the integrity of the people on your team is absolutely important. If there's not trust and not integrity, you never know where you stand or what's going to happen next. We've had very high standards. We've surrounded ourselves with people with high standards, and we've been blessed.
Last question tonight, Jerry. What advice would you give our young listeners this evening?
Well, I think the most important thing, you've all heard this before, is not to think of a job as work, to think of it as something that you enjoy doing, that you have a passion for. If I was getting out of school, you know, it's the end of June, first couple weeks of July here, and I was looking for a job today, I wouldn't be concerned about my starting pay or where I was working or what I was doing. I'd look for a job that I enjoyed. The definition of success to me is doing something that you want to do. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't enjoy their jobs. If you want to be happy, you better enjoy your job. You better make it your passion and work hard on it. And then I guarantee you, you'll be successful. If you just take a job for a job's sake, you may or may not be successful.
Jerry Campbell, it's an honor to call you a friend. Thanks for coming. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you very much.
Our guest next Sunday will be the Cleveland Indians starting pitcher, Paul Byrd. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.